Today's January 6th, 2025. Current Bitcoin price is $101,891.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Happy New Year, Rick.
Happy New Year.
How did you enjoy a little bit of downtime during your break there?
Quite a bit of downtime. I don't even know how to get back up time.
You know what, though? It's good to be able to reset yourself every so often.
Yep.
Take a walk, you know, step away from the prices for a little bit. Don't worry about what Bitcoin's going to do, because Bitcoin's going to do what Bitcoin's going to do. And just
I was still worrying.
I know you're still watching. Like, it doesn't stop, right? But
yeah,
I tried not to look on Christmas Day. And I think maybe Christmas Eve. Well, Christmas Day I didn't look at all because I was sick, but I didn't care what the price was doing. I was like, whatever.
Success, right?
Success. Yeah. The only thing that is more limited than Bitcoin is your time. So that's what I was thinking about. One day I'm going to get sick, and I'm not going to beat it, and that'll be the end of me. But
yep, hopefully that's a ways off.
Yeah, let's hope that's not too soon. But yeah, so we had a nice little break. I think both of us got a little bit of time off of work, and you know what was funny? That was the most time I think that we've seen each other, like with, you know, our kind of group of friends, all during one couple week period. Like all in, like within 2 weeks, more than what we see each other most of the time for the year.
Yep, I agree.
Which is kind of sad, but I mean, I guess c'est la vie. That's what happens as you get older. So to kick things off, how are we looking with our theoretical purchases?
Well, over the Christmas break, things were pretty rough, and then today, you know, it'd been well at least below 100,000. So today, things popped up to 101,000. So first theoretical buy in October 2023. $3,000 would have netted you 0.0885 Bitcoin, which is basically 8.85 million Satoshis. And that $3,000 is now worth 9,017, so it's back above three times its original value.
That's really good.
That's always awesome. The second theoretical purchase right at the halving, the most recent one in April 19th, $1,000 would have been able to buy you 1.564 million Satoshis, and that is now worth 1,594. So you've gained almost 60% on that investment right there.
That's pretty damn good. Yeah, it was quite a day today. We popped basically from, I mean, we were as low as, right around 98,653, and we popped up to a high of like 102,741 is what it looks like on the chart, 788 maybe. So yeah, we had quite a little range today. Something we were talking about beforehand was Trump was basically he's a shoe-in now, right?
Yeah. So the election with the general public happens on November 5th, and then the states send their delegates to Congress, and then that gets certified. Actually, I think it's in the Senate, and the Electoral College happens on January 6th. So Trump is officially elected as the next president of the United States.
There you go. And I think maybe that's part of the reason why this hope, I don't want to say hope, like, it's not hope. Like we knew, we talked about this before, like Bitcoin, like you're in the most exciting, like for those of you that maybe this is your first bull run, but this is the most exciting time for Bitcoin is now. We're kind of really in that price discovery area. And at least for the next probably 6 to 9 months, we should see some pretty crazy fluctuations in the price, both the positive and negative. but it'll be mind-blowing when it happens. Like, it's going to be crazy days where you're just like, oh my God, face-melting price action that takes place. Something else that we kind of missed, and we probably should have recorded an episode on this day, but Bitcoin's had its 16th anniversary. The first Genesis block was mined on January 3rd, 2009. Thank you, Satoshi. So happy anniversary to Bitcoin. It's kind of like the birthday. I mean, what, you got the white paper that came out like on Halloween, but then the first Genesis block came out January 3rd, 2009. So Halloween 2008, white paper was released. January 3rd, 2009, first Bitcoin block was mined. So
nice. So he put it out and then waited a little over 2 months before he started running it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if he was just, I mean, maybe just finalizing some code at that point between that. That, who knows? I don't know for sure. I mean, that's all theoretical, right? I don't know if there's a whole lot of people that know exactly what was going on, because I don't know if he was active on the message boards from what I understand, but he wasn't. I don't know if he had released the code at that point or not. So
yeah. Well, and it nowadays, because he disappeared, it's now become lore. It's not just theoretical. It's like,
yeah,
hush tones and all that stuff. So that's interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's, you know, and that's the first time he encoded the message on there was Chancellor on the brink of second bailout for banks. If anybody remembers during that time, we were going through the 2008 financial crisis into spilling into 2009. And because the 2008 crisis started really kind of in October of 2008, right?
Yes. And then he released the white paper at the end of October. So he was on top of that as it happened.
Yep. Yeah, he had to have been working a while on some of this stuff, or he, she, they, whatever the group was, whether it was the NSA, whatever, whoever developed this thing. Yeah. So happy birthday, Bitcoin. And obviously, we were talking about this earlier. Bitcoin has retaken $100,000. Last night, I was kind of watching to see how we were going to close the week, since we had the weekly close on Sunday night. And I didn't know if we would try and make a push to 100,000 then, and if it would get rejected, because I was really wondering about that. I was like, man, if it gets a harsh rejection off 100,000, we could see it go quite a bit lower for a little while. But today it blew through it, closed above it. So we're solidly back in the 100 grand range.
Well, we're cautiously back in it. We'll see what happens tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the problem is, like, right now, I mean, I don't know exactly what all has happened today. We were looking at the ETF flows, and there were some major significant outflows that were taking place, like, towards the end of December going into the beginning of January, right? We saw BlackRock sold off $332 million on January 2nd.
And
yeah, and then, but then the following day, on January 3rd, you saw almost $1 billion worth of inflows come back into the crypto space, like within the ETS. And now today, like, was probably a $1 billion day again today. We don't know for sure yet. We haven't seen the final numbers, but that, with the way the price action moved, that's my guess.
Yeah, that's mine as well. So yeah, no, it's been kind of rough the past little bit. I mean, there's a lot of red days when you look at this chart. Who's it from again?
Farsight.
Farsight.
Yes. I think they're out of the UK, but they track the ETF flows for the US. And I mean, when you look at that, December 19th, $671 million outflow, $277 million outflow, $226 million outflow, $338 million outflow.
And it closed on Christmas.
Closed on Christmas. $475 million inflow on the 26th, $287 million outflow on the 27th. Almost $500 million on the 30th, December 31st, 5.3 million inflow. I mean, that's nothing. That's a pittance.
That was like nothing.
Yep.
Yeah.
January 1st, obviously we were closed. Markets were closed here in the States. And then January 2nd, $242 million outflow. Like, this is really nasty looking. Like, when you look at it, just a snapshot from the 19th to now, doesn't look very good, but
Bitcoin is getting brutalized, at least in the ETFs.
Yeah. So much for what they typically call like the Santa Claus rally, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, We'll see where this goes. You know, there's a lot of hope that the strategic Bitcoin reserve is still going to happen. So I think that's part of where this is coming from. Like you said, we'll have to see what happens tomorrow if this kind of continues this run up. One of the things that, you know, they were thinking was maybe behind some of this was, you know, we had the certification of the election, and then there was a leak about X's money platform that they're going to try and release, and how, you know, basically Elon's looking to move forward with being able to move money through X without having all 50 states' banking regulations in place. And I'm probably not saying that right.
But yeah, that seems a little bit dangerous doing that, but
yeah. And then, you know, I kind of wonder, I guess the big hoopla is whether or not he's going to allow crypto payments on the platform. So,
well, I would wait for Donald Trump to get in there before I try to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But I mean, what would that look like if X all of a sudden becomes like a banking system or a banking account or a bank in general?
Well, that's kind of interesting because a lot of people know this, but some people forget that Elon actually really got a start during PayPal. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where he made his first fortune. So, I mean, he's kind of like trying to integrate some type of PayPal system within Twitter or X. It's kind of fascinating. I mean, he knows how to do it, so maybe he is able to pull it off. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing is, too, is like PayPal, originally he wanted to call PayPal X. I was reading his autobiography, and that was one of the big things that he had. And like that, everybody was like, no, that's a stupid name. He's like, no, I want to call it X. And so now he's got Twitter. He calls it X. And I think he's kind of bringing that fruition to life. The question that I guess I have, we've talked a little bit about some of the debanking that was taking place with Operation Chokepoint
2.0.
Yeah. We only touched on it just a little bit, but you had sent me some podcasts. I think we talked about it on the last episode. And so I listened to those podcasts. I'm wondering, like, I don't know, Elon, I don't think he'll shut down your banking services if you buy crypto.
I wouldn't think he would. But also what was happening, I think that's another thing that's kind of crazy, is we've lived through 4 years of a Biden administration that was incredibly hostile to crypto.
Mm-hmm.
And according to that one guest that had that bank that had 100% reserves, and then they didn't hold crypto, they held keys for your crypto.
Yeah, they didn't actually buy it themselves, right?
Absolutely. So, I mean, but the hoops that they were getting put through, and, you know, their accounts getting closed, their bank accounts, you know, that's some active suppression of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And I just wonder how much lower is the price right now, because, you know, it's basically just been fighting an uphill battle the past 4 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, it did show resiliency whenever those banks were closing. You know, and we think about Silicon Valley Bank and all that stuff. That's where we started to see the move up again for this cycle. Yeah. But then at the same time, too, and I know we've kind of talked about this as well, is whether or not we would have peaked higher. Like if the price in the previous cycle would have gone higher, if it wasn't for the regulations, some of the ETF stuff that was going on the back end where they could do the options changing, or they could short it really. And then perhaps like the FTX collapse. I think there was a lot of things that were kind of, I don't know. I wonder if the 69,000 nice really would have been the top in the previous cycle, or if we would have gotten a little bit higher.
You know, that's one of those things we just will never know. But it's always just fun to produce conjecture about it, you know.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And then the last thing here that we have, which I thought this was kind of funny, which tells me again that we are actually in a bull cycle, is that China announced another ban on Bitcoin as America is moving towards a strategic currency with it, which, and it's kind of stupid. It's not really a ban. They're just asking for financial institutions to report any illicit type activities in regards to like possibly cryptocurrency purchases in China. Go ahead.
They don't even just look at that though. The Chinese social credit system, they basically look at what you're buying. Are you buying too many video games? Are you buying cigarettes, too much cigarettes? Are you buying too much junk food? That kind of thing. And then it's almost like, are you buying too much crypto now?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, China's central bank, the People's Bank of China, has been working with leading tech platforms such as Alipay and WeChat to develop the Chinese, digital yuan. They've done that already. And I guess, from what I understand, it's not doing all that well there.
Well,
I don't know.
I think something like that, where basically they are like the guinea pigs for the central bank digital currency, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think most people are going to go along with that willingly. There's going to be a lot more stick involved than carrots to get people to go along with that. And I think for good reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I always think that's kind of interesting. I think we've talked about this before, and I think it was Andreas Antonopoulos back in the day. You know, he always talked about, you can tell how free your country is by how they treat Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
If they're very harsh on Bitcoin, then you don't probably have a very free country because they have capital controls and stuff like that in place. If your country is more embracing of Bitcoin, then you typically live in a more freer society. So it's a litmus test, I guess, for your freedom in your country in a lot of ways. So
indeed.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hopeful. I hope this doesn't become a buy a rumor, sell the news kind of thing, or, you know, buy the rumor, sell the news. Once Trump gets officially into office, but we'll see, too. I mean, at the same time, like, I mean, if he goes in there and he's like strategic Bitcoin reserve, we could see some prices do some crazy things.
Yep. I mean, when we start talking about nation states trying to get a hold of Bitcoin, it's going to go bananas.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff in place that it could happen really quickly if he signs off on it, and if Senator Loomis's bill gets passed through right away and he can sign it, or if he does, I don't think he'll do an executive order, but who knows?
Well, he could do an executive order where we're not selling any more of the government's Bitcoin, because they've seized a lot and they still had quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to say they still have like 210,000 or something like that Bitcoin.
I mean, I'll save him a little bit of costs on getting that rest of that 800,000 or roughly, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how he plays that out, but I'm still optimistic. Like I said, I still believe we have about 6 to 9 more months of some pretty good price action. So I don't think we're in super cycle time yet, but maybe.
Maybe. Who knows? It's always just interesting. Actually, this is always the most exciting but scariest part of the ride.
Yeah.
Because you don't know when it's over.
Yep. Yeah, you don't know when all of a sudden that music stops and the chair, everybody's going to take their seats. So be ready for it. I don't think we're there yet, but be ready for it. Well, if we start to feel like it's coming, and like I said, though, too, like that's kind of the interesting thing. We had this ban announcement come out and the price didn't drop.
Well, I don't think yuan was going mostly towards Bitcoin, so that's probably something to do with it.
Yeah, in the past, it used to freak the market out because that was the crazy thing, too, was back then, so much of the mining and everything was coming out of China.
Yep. And before they banned it outright.
Yeah, and ever since then, it's kind of, you know, restabilized where it's all spread out more across the world. And obviously, there's a big push for it in the United States, especially now that we have public traded companies that you can buy on the New York Stock Exchange that mine Bitcoin. That's what they do. So anything else you wanted to add today?
I think that's it for me.
Yeah. So happy new year from all of us to you. And we hope you have a blessed and profitable new year. And if you decide you do want to do some self-custody of your Bitcoin, you can always get your Elipal or Ledger through our website at www.thebitbytepodcast.com/deals, and that just gives you a link to give us a little bit of a kickback for buying it from directly from the manufacturer. It's just an affiliate link. So And then you can always sign up for our newsletter as well, and that'll get you your checklist. So
indeed.
Thank you for listening.
Alrighty.